Welcome to the Management Minute with Dr. Donita Brown, where we sit down with business leaders to gain valuable insights and advice on how to navigate the world of management. Whether you're a seasoned manager or just starting out, this podcast is for you. I'm Donita Brown, a professor in the College of Business at Lipscomb University. I'm also an author, speaker, and habit coach. For almost 20 years, I worked in corporate America and managed teams of 2 to 102. Welcome to this week's episode. Today's guest is Julianne Brazil. Julianne, thank you so much for being here.
It's my pleasure.
All right, we are going to get started with your one sentence bio.
So I am a wife, a mother of five, a corporate executive, a board member, an advocate for the underprivileged, an educator, and an avid traveler who was created by God to positively impact the world for his glory.
Man, that is a great one sentence bio. That might be one of the best ones I've ever heard.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Are you ready for question number one?
I am.
Okay. How do your values impact your management philosophy?
They have a huge impact on my management philosophy and behaviors. I believe in really every area of life, I've been entrusted with a very significant responsibility to make things better than I found them.
Mm.
And so that's true in my life as a mom, in my community, and most certainly in my business. So with that in mind, you really have to think about the responsibility you're given to drive business outcomes for your client, and then figure out how do you inspire and engage and equip your people to catch that vision and then execute it. So execution is one of my key Clifton Strength Finders dimensions. And so I have a huge value on how we're going to make sure that we deliver because of this responsibility I feel to make sure that we are achieving or exceeding the goals. And so working that through with your people, that they understand what they're going to need to do and that you give them very measurable goals on how they're doing is super key. And then just to sort of bring that to life a little bit. So I work for Accenture and we work with, you know, some of the world's biggest companies on some super difficult transformations. And so when we go in and we're making commitments to them that we're going to reduce costs and improve customer experience and drive revenue, that's not an incremental change sort of thing. It's driving big change. And when we're managing that, you're managing your people and also the people from the client side on making big changes. So they have to get the vision and then they have to think about what does that mean for me very individually. And so an example would be taking a look at a good enough would be these 100 people, they're award-winning and they're super productive. But to really change the game, you have to say, why do we have 100 people here? If we did something upstream with policies or the way that we interact and get better data, do we even need 100 people to work exceptions? That's like the game changer. And on an individual level, we're empowered to figure out how to streamline things, get more straight-through processing, have a better result. But on an individual level, they think, if I automate my job, then, you know, that's worrisome for me. So you have to go to the individual level and they have to be sure that they're going to have an opportunity to go somewhere else because proving that you can automate something actually makes you more valuable to my business and there's more business problems to solve. But it's really thinking about the big picture. What do you have to drive? How do you do it in a really impactful way and bring the people along so that they are delivering and realize they're encouraged and they realize that when I automate this, I'm going to tackle another big problem.
And leading big change, as you mentioned, it's a hard thing. You said that one of your core values is to make things better than you found them. So it
Absolutely.
Sounds like you have the ability to do that every day. I want to circle back, though, that you said your values not only impact your management philosophy, but also your behaviors. Can you talk a little bit more about the behaviors?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think my value of, you know, leaving the world better than I found it and executing mean that I'm always seeking to find what are the strengths that I bring and others bring that are going to allow us to achieve some ambitious goal, some big, hairy, audacious goal, right? So my behaviors will be very focused on observing and asking folks, you know, what they are able to contribute and then finding ways to maximize the 70 or 80% of that person's time on the thing that they're uniquely gifted at, which may be organizing in spreadsheets and matching it up with someone who is on the other side of more visioning and strategy so that you get a team together and you're actually putting the right players in the right places and then letting them be empowered and accountable, but also creative in how they then as a strength based team execute. So that's a very behavioral thing of putting the right people in the right place and then encouraging and inspiring them to bring their A game.
That's great. Thank you so much. You ready for question number two?
Yes.
Who or what has had the most impact on your management style?
So I think tons of things have impacted my management style over the 30-odd years that I've been doing work. Two people stand out. One was earlier in my career, a woman named Kim Samea. She was the head of HR, which she promptly renamed the head of people. And she was very focused on how you draw out strengths. And it was before I probably was very knowledgeable about, you know, strengths-based views. And she had me fill out a self-assessment and then sit down with a sort of a 360 review of, you know, how do I see myself? How do I think others see me? And I was super intimidated because I'm hard on myself, this whole achiever-executor. And I had sort of marked things like I'd be like, oh, I think I'm a four. And they'd be like, I better erase that and put it down just so that I don't like, oh, look, I think I'm perfect and you don't. And I sat down with her, and before she looked at my page, she just spoke such purpose into me and what she saw in me and what things she thought I was going to be able to harness and how sort of limitless she saw my future. You know, it almost moved me to tears to hear her talking about these very things. And then I was almost embarrassed to have my paper with these very low marks. And she said, that's one of the first things you're going to have to work on. You have to understand your strengths and be able to match it with, you know, your ambition and your potential. So that was a really important thing for me and really helped me to think about how do I bring that out in others, because it just breathes life into you and then you feel pretty unstoppable. So that's one person, Kim Samaeus. And then the second was Debbie Polishook at Accenture. She saw what I was able to do, you know, over about a decade in a particular area of the firm. And she said, how would you like to take on this super ambitious, totally different thing? And it was in energy. And I didn't know anything about energy. I knew a lot about leadership and a lot about our business, but I didn't know about upstream and downstream or even that there was a midstream. But she, you know, basically was like, you have what it takes. If you do what you do here and rely on the experts that exist, that know energy, you're going to be unstoppable. And it ended up being this fantastic few year journey for me. And now I'm back in financial services again, but realizing how your skills are portable, how people around you can actually come and, you know, help you. And then your different knowledge from somewhere else in industry actually upheld and helped them was just a really powerful opportunity for me personally. Makes you feel a bit unstoppable with the right team around you. And also to kind of convey that to others, that that's an important trait for you to think about. You've got portable skills, be a lifelong learner, be relentless around, you know, how you apply it. And the trust of your leaders to allow you to do that.
Yeah, it really sounds like the first person that you mentioned really had the gift of putting people at ease so that they could accomplish what you needed to accomplish. Yeah, that's really great. Before we get to the next question, let's pause for a quick message. Are you ready to become the leader you've always wanted to be? Then join us for 24/7 Leadership's Power Talk series. Leaders never rest. They lead all the time, 24/7. In this dynamic training, you'll master the essential communication and thinking skills to showing up as a leader you envision every single day. Learn to be fully present with yourself and others, to listen deeply, and to create lasting developmental alliances with your team. Who could benefit from this transformational training, you ask? Well, anyone leading a team, from new managers to seasoned CEOs. Past participants rave about these coaching skills and how they positively impacted both their personal and professional lives. So don't wait. Unleash your leadership potential today with 24/7 Leadership's Power Talk series. Visit our website, 247leadership.org, to learn more and sign up today. 24/7 Leadership is powered by the College of Business. All right, ready for question number three?
I am.
What book has made the biggest impact on you?
So several books for different purposes. I love the 4-8 principle on a personal and professional level, which is focused on Philippians 4:8, think on these things, whatever is lovely, whatever is true, et cetera. And it really gives you an opportunity to take in the stress of the day and see a way forward and think about the best possible outcome and really focus your day on how you're going to move forward. So there's lots of business application and life application in that book that has been a tremendous value in my life. And then I love Grit. You know, the story of Angela Duckworth, right? And how we make sure that we just keep at it and keep at it. And just the impact of that relentless focus on, you know, doing what you've been asked to do. And the third book I'd recommend is Strengths-Based Teams by Marcus Buckingham, kind of tied back to some of the earlier points I made about really understanding people's strengths and how that drives performance.
You know, taking Strengths Finder, the first time I did it,
really changed my life. And I don't mean that like, I mean, I really mean it was that impactful, because I had spent a lot of my life trying to increase my weaknesses, like figure out how I could do things better that I wasn't good at. And then once I read his original book, Now Discover Your Strengths, I realized like you can't exponentially increase your weaknesses, but you can exponentially increase your strengths. And it just completely changed the way that I thought about how I needed to do my work.
I had the same experience, and it also completely changed my approach to my kiddos, right? Like really thinking through, I see these God-given strengths in you. And when you lean into those, you are unstoppable. So there's a need to passable rate on some things, you know, that you have to get to a certain level, but don't spend all of your time, energy, and effort, which is draining, on those, but instead lose yourself in the things that are your strengths, because you will go farther, better, and faster there than other people can possibly go. So that's been a really big finding for me in terms of how I even work with my children, and then obviously my people that work with me as well. But just really life-changing, I agree.
Thank you. I haven't read the 4-8 principle, but it sounds like one that I am going to buy probably right after we finish here, because that sounds like a great book.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, that's really good. Are you ready for my favorite part of the podcast?
Yes.
All right. So it's 60 seconds, rapid-fire questions. You can pass on one. So you ready?
Yes.
All right. If you could be any animal, what would you be and why?
Golden retriever, because they love everybody and everyone loves them.
How many pairs of shoes do you own?
25.
What's your favorite family recipe?
Chicken cordon bleu.
Who would play you in a movie about your life?
Julia Roberts.
What song reminds you of high school?
Wham in general.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever eaten?
Octopus.
If you could meet up with any celebrity for coffee, who would you choose?
Tom Cruise.
How would you survive a zombie apocalypse?
I would pray that my children were out in front of me, taking care of me.
What's your favorite holiday?
Christmas.
What's your favorite ice cream topping?
Nuts.
What's your favorite type of exercise?
Running.
What phone app do you use the most?
I am not very app savvy. I actually accidentally deleted my app store once.
What's the first thing you do in the morning?
Brush my teeth.
All right. Well, that's a good one to end on. All right, Julianne, your job now is to give parting advice to managers. What's the best advice you can give to a manager?
It would be to leave things better than you found them, and think about that from the perspective of the employees' lives that you're impacting, the customers that you're impacting, your shareholders, your business. We have a huge value of stewardship in our lives, I think. So that would really be thinking about it from all those dimensions. Just every day take a micro action that makes things better than it was the day before.
And that is great advice. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Management Minute. We hope you enjoyed this week's interview. If you like this episode, please share it with a friend or colleague. If you have suggestions for a future guest, please send me their contact information to donita.brown@lipscomb.edu. You can also subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to connect with me on LinkedIn. Thank you.
This podcast is powered by the College of Business Content Creation Studio at Lipscomb University.